This is Fresh Air. We have our weekly jazz review now with music critic Francis Davis. Bebop is the cornerstone of modern jazz, and trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie was one of its architects. Francis has a review of a new reissue of Dizzy Gillespie's big band and small group sessions from the 1940s.
Conventional wisdom equates swing with big bands and bop with small groups, but nothing's that simple. At least two big bands were playing bop before anyone thought to call it that. The first was the Earl Hines Orchestra in 1943, when its personnel included Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. But unfortunately, this edition of Hines's orchestra never recorded. A year later, Gillespie and Parker were reunited in the Billy Eckstein Orchestra. This band did record, but Eckstein's popularity as a crooner dictated ballads and blues, not bop. So record buyers had to wait until 1946 for their first taste of big band bop. That's when Gillespie formed his own orchestra. Dizziest, a new two-record set on RCA Bluebird, focuses on Gillespie's activities from 1946 to 1949. It's not quite the definitive reissue one might have hoped for. It unaccountably omits two dazzling performances by the 1949 Metronome All-Stars with Gillespie, Parker, and a host of others. But all 28 of the big band sides that Gillespie made for RCA are here. So are four titles from a justly celebrated 1946 small group date with Don Byas and Milt Jackson. But it's the big band stuff that fascinates me. The Gillespie Orchestra allayed suspicions that bop was an aberration, a music suitable only for the mavericks who had originated it. The numerous journeymen who passed through the band's ranks proved that there was no shortage of musicians committed to bop. Equally important, the band established that there were numerous composers and arrangers capable of orchestrating bop for large ensemble. The notable contributors to the band's book included Tad Dameron, Walter Fuller, Gerald Wilson, John Lewis, and Gillespie himself, all of whom are well represented on Dizziest. But the chart that represents the Dizzy Gillespie Orchestra at its peak is a two-part work, called Cubano B and Cubano Bop. It's jointly credited to Gillespie and George Russell, but it's Russell's sensibility which prevails. With Cubano B and Cubano Bop, both recorded in 1947, Russell introduced jazz to such advanced concepts as modality and bitonality. On a more elementary but no less satisfying level, these works represent as imaginative a synthesis of jazz and Afro-Cuban rhythms as one is ever likely to hear. Thanks in no small part to Chano Pozo's soul-stirring chanting and drumming toward the very beginning of Cubano Bop, which we're going to listen to right now.
Simba.
Simba!
Cubano B!
Cubano Bop!
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 Thank you.
George Russell and Dizzy Gillespie's Cabana Bop, the second half of a two-part work that must have sounded visionary in 1947. It still does. Not everything on Dizziest lives up to the superlative. For example, there are inane novelty tunes that Gillespie recorded in a futile attempt to seduce the masses. The title, Hey Pete, Let's Eat Mo' Meat, should give you some idea of what I'm talking about. But even these tracks have undeniable period charm. For that matter, so do the moony vocals of Johnny Hartman, a great ballad singer, but he hadn't yet hit his stride when he worked with Gillespie. When a collection similar to this one was released in Europe about 10 years ago, a British reviewer recommended purchasing it, even if that meant going without eating. One hesitates to make such a statement, even in jest, in 1987, when so many people are, in fact, going without such basic necessities as food and shelter. But suffice it to say, Dizziest is one of those items that belongs in every jazz record collection. Without it, you're missing an essential chapter in the story of bop.
Francis Davis is the author of In the Moment, Jazz in the 1980s. He also writes for The Atlantic and the Philadelphia Inquirer.